السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله يحييك يا مريم. السلام ورحمة الله.
كيفك يابا؟
الحمد لله.
How's everything going since the last 8 hours we filmed this?
الحمد لله. Good.
Good.
Very good.
Vibes. Okay. So I posted 40 Rules of Love Part 4, Bismillah, this morning, literally just an hour or two ago. And one of our beautiful followers had mentioned that the last time we stopped at rule number 14. Her name is... Actually, I don't know what her name is, but bless her, she looks beautiful. Okay, so let's see. Rule 14 was Bismillah, Yaba. So we're going to do rule 14 and then fast forward to 19 again. Okay. Isn't this the one where I cried? It is. God is busy with the completion of your work, both outwardly and inwardly. He is fully occupied with you. Every human being is a work in progress that is slowly but inexorably moving toward perfection. We are each an unfinished work of art, both waiting and striving to be completed. God deals with each of us separately, because humanity is fine art of skilled penmanship, Allah, where every single dot is equally important for the entire picture.
Yeah, this is where the totality does not take any importance from the smallest minute details. At that level of being, which is the divine being, the totality is the details, and the details are the totality. لا يشغله شيء عن شيء. Nothing keeps him busy from the other.
Yeah.
And the importance of this is that you realize after some time that you are the core attention, the focal point, نقطة الصفر. في كما يقول الإمام علي عليه سلام الله النقطة تحت الباء.
Yeah, it encompasses the whole universe.
Yeah, those are big words that very few people may
understand.
Even you see, if you really want to understand the big picture, you need to leave the small trivial details for those who are occupied with triviality.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, most of us are occupied with triviality, delving in to the point that any glimpse of importance or reality to them is threatening.
Yeah.
What I get from this is that each and every one of us need to know that he is the center of the universe, not in an egotistical sense.
Yeah.
Not in that you should take, because our ego tends to immediately turn things towards itself.
Yeah.
Your spirit, your existence, your value, whom you are as a human. That is why in our tradition and in our religion, من قتل نفسا كأنما قتل الناس جميعا. Who kills one soul as if he killed all souls, as he killed humanity, all of it. Why is that?
Because of the collective consciousness?
Very much. See, if we understand how important it is to be one with the one,
yeah,
we will all then become one. And that's the glory of the glory. Triviality keeps us away from that which is important. You and I are important. You in your totality, not as an individual sitting in front of me. You, which means the other. And I means me, myself, my soul, my heart, and you yourself, your soul and heart. There is a totality. There is a unity, a oneness in the whole thing. And when you grasp part of it, your respect and value for your akin brethren, and also for yourself before, takes a completely different dimension.
There's a Sufi poet Hafiz, whom I love, he says, your heart and my heart are very old friends. And I think people usually take that in the romantic sense, like when you meet your soulmate, it's, you know, روحي وروحك بتعرف بعض. But even then, that's a divine knowing. That's a divine connection. Do you know what I mean? When he says your heart and my heart are very old friends, I think he's referring to that, the collective consciousness.
The collective consciousness, the unity.
Because you could say that to anyone. You could say that, you know? Because in the case of Shams and Rumi, it's a very platonic relationship. Obviously.
Obviously.
Crazy that I even have to say that, apparently. But but they're each other's soulmates. They're each other's mirrors.
This over-occupancy that we have as a human race with the romantic, and only the romantic aspect of love, is actually demeaning, belittling, and insulting.
Demeaning, yeah, yeah.
Demeaning and insulting. Mm. Because the word love and what all of those 40 rules of love urge you to master is to master, first of all, the art of existence and the art of connection and the art of being. Believe me, if that happens, even partially, your ability to enjoy, see, and experience platonic love and emotional love, which is romantic love, will enhance dramatically. Just focusing on love as a romantic relationship, this continuous saga of seeking the other, which is the partner, is actually denying us from looking for the real partner.
Yeah.
You know who's your real partner? The genuine one that you need to find. So you reach to that level of enlightened existence.
The Prophet alayhi salatu
wasalam. Alayhi salatu Allahi wa salamu wa ala ali baytihi al-kiram. And how do you reach there?
Are you going to say yourself?
Very much.
Because the reason I said the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is because, and this is a common misconception, that people think that the poetry by Jalaluddin Rumi is about exactly that, romantic love between a man and a woman, when it's not. It is strictly about his love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Everything Shams and Rumi mirrored in one another is the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, point blank, period. It's not about your ex-boyfriend.
It's not about your ex-boyfriend. No, not at all.
You know? It's crazy to me. And also, the reason I'll say it's not about your ex-boyfriend is because if you were telling me it's about the father of your children, who treats you like a queen, and you guys have a very divine relationship rooted in the essence of the love of Allah, I tell you, sure, yeah, that poem is about you and your husband.
Yeah.
But it's not about your ex-boyfriend who was a narcissist.
That's a dimension of it.
Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So you can take that poetry and apply it to all the little things in your life that are beautiful. Like, for example, my relationship with you, my relationship with my mother, my relationship with my friend Sarah. You know, of course I can. My relationship with my brother. Absolutely you can. But I won't apply it to an ex-partner. That makes no sense.
If you want to have it the right way, always ask yourself, how does God do it?
Yeah.
Allah Jalla Jalalu, how does He do it? And mimic God.
Yeah.
When God loves you, does He have a personal interest in you? Does He want anything from you that benefits Him?
No.
At all. Why is He loving us, Jalla Jalalu?
For us.
For you.
Yeah.
Try to mimic that. Try to love while all what you have in your heart and mind is the interest, the enlightenment, the guidance, and the happiness of the one
you are loving.
Yes. Mm. And then you become partially godly.
Subhanallah, I said this before about, I think it was I've said it in episodes with you, and I've said it recently with Sarah. And even when I went on Mehreen's show, if I'm not mistaken, this thing about compromise, everyone's like, relationships are compromise, they're sacrifice. I compromised so much for her, I sacrificed so much for him. You know, there's always this this sense of, you know, letting go of something in a negative sense. But if I, let's say I'm married, and if I, every decision I make is for the bettering of my husband and my home and my children, right? And it doesn't feel like sacrifice because this is going to make the people that I love happy and safe and healthy. And if my husband, everything he does is for the betterment of me and our children.
If you think...
Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely. If you think you compromised...
You didn't.
You did not.
Yeah.
If you think you gave, you did not. If you think you were generous and you're overgiven, you did not.
Yeah.
The mere fact that you have entitled yourself with such a prescription or with such a state of mind, it by itself says that you have not achieved it.
Yeah.
Because you cannot till the water. The water does not come to you and says, look, I'm very nourishing.
Yeah.
It just does it. That's what it is. It's an extension of life. It's the source of life.
Yeah.
Does water talk to you and tell you that I have quenched your thirst? I am a thirst quencher? No, it doesn't. It just do it.
Is it, again, Hafiz, subhanallah, has a poem, and this one went viral because even Khloe Kardashian posted it, and I'm just like, okay. But this was years ago. But it's one of my favorites. And he says, Bismillah, even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. This just, the way God intended it.
We can learn a lesson or two from animals.
We can learn a lot just by watching how the trees behave.
Behave, how animals behave with each other.
Yeah.
Look for an animal. How does it take care? How does it take care of its own children? And what does it ask in return? Nothing. And the minute they reach their fledging point, just go. I want to see you soar.
Yeah. I think also with the universe, there's just a silent understanding of how things work. You don't have to. You know, they say that the difference between ihna wal haywanat is that God gave us a brain and we can think. That's the difference between us and animals, is that God gave us a consciousness, right? I think, look at what we've done with our thoughts. Look at what humanity has done with its thinking. Look at the wars, the famine, the diseases. This is what humanity has done with thoughts.
There is an old saying. I do not know if it's a hadith, but I know it is an essential part of what we've been taught in the Sufi Islam. تخلقوا بخلق الله. Always adopt the mannerism of Allah Jalla Jalalu. If you are at a point where it's not clear to you, are you doing it right or are you doing it wrong?
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to attributes and mannerism, attitude and so, put yourself in front of your Lord and see how your Lord.
Also, can I say something, side note, Bismillah? You said now you don't know if it's a hadith, but it's a saying in Sufi history. So I, the episode that I filmed with Sarah, I had said we have a saying in Islam. And someone, some loser behind the screen somewhere, was just like, this is not a hadith. You need to be careful what you are saying. This is not a Muslim saying. And I was like, let me make one thing clear. It's an imam. It's a Sufi imam from... I forgot the name. I need to find it. I think it's the one about man arafa nafsahu arafa Allah. Okay?
That was one of the saying of Imam Ali, karamallahu wajhahu. Old saying of Imam Ali.
Okay, so let's say it's not a hadith nabawi. So it's okay, no. But it's still a Muslim saying. If it comes from one of our scholars and our imams and our, it's a Muslim saying. Because I didn't say it's a hadith. I said it's a Muslim saying.
You know what is a Muslim saying?
It's a saying by someone who is Muslim.
Allah Allah. Al hikmatu dallatul mu'min. أينما وجدها هو أولى بها. Wisdom is dalla is what you look for.
Yeah.
That it's the lost and how to say it in English. Wisdom is that thing a mu'min yearn for and search for continuously.
All the time.
Whenever you find it, wherever you find it, with whom you find it, you should think that you deserve it more. أولى بها.
Mm.
You should hold to it.
Mm.
And acknowledge it.
Mm.
and give thanks to the one who passed it to you, regardless.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah.
If you cannot learn from a child, if you cannot learn from an animal, if you cannot learn from strangers, you cannot, if you cannot, what do you want? Lectures and books? So you get it?
Yeah, but this concept of, I understand it's not a hadith, hence why I didn't say it's a hadith. I said it's a Muslim saying. But if the 40 rules of love, for example, or a poem by Rumi, that is a Muslim saying. He's one of the biggest Muslim figures.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Let's agree, let's disagree. There are many, many different masharib and baths.
But this is the focusing on the trivialities.
Very much.
Like, you left the beautiful saying of man arafa nafsahu arafa Allah, and like, oh, it's not the hadith. Well, no one said it was.
I lived in Egypt, you know, and I learned a lot from that beautiful nation.
Yeah.
One of their common saying, it's a proverb. Allu ya baba allimni al-hayafa. Allu ta'ala fil hayfa wa tsaddar. Teach me how to be trivial. Allo, come to trivial. This is it. A boy asking his father.
Yeah.
Teach me how to become trivial. He said, come to trivial things and act like a boss with them.
Yeah. Facts.
Yeah, that's how you become trivial. Mm. You leave that what it matters. And you hang and you pay so much attention to those things that are actually... You can't do without.
Okay, we move on?
Yes.
Good sir. Baba, I don't even know if we actually discussed this rule. You did. I trust you. Okay. Bismillah, rule 19. Do you know what's so funny? After this, there's 21 left.
Inshallah.
Okay. Fret not where the road will take you. Instead, concentrate on the first step. That is the hardest part, and that is what you are responsible for. Once you take that step, let everything do what it naturally does, and the rest will follow. Don't go with the flow, be the flow.
Well, that's one of the things I try my best to teach people around me, especially in work.
Dad, can you make sure that you're...
Especially in work, is just focus on the first step and allow and do your best and allow that the journey to manifest on you and with you.
Sorry, I'm laughing. I'm just remembering I had a girlfriend that was dating a dude. This was like 2-3 years ago, maybe even 4, okay? And she kept telling me, I'm going with the flow. And it just didn't sit right with me, okay? I understand she wanted to be an agreeable woman, you know what I mean? Just someone who's easygoing, who just doesn't seem so nonchalant and not... doesn't really care. No, you're here, you're not here. It came back to bite her in the butt big time. Because 10 months later, she's still going with the flow. Baba, she went with the flow with the sewage. You know what I mean? Like, it was just this, when it says don't go with the flow, be the flow, I love that because it's, you are the flow. So things, what you manifest and what you want will happen because you're going with the flow of what you know Allah will prepare for you, but it's not going with the flow with someone else's whims and needs. At least you're going with the flow with Allah's flow.
That's the wrong form of surrender because you leave your dignity and you leave your value to somebody else to drag you around. That's not...
And it's not that she did it purposefully, mind you. She thought she was doing the right thing, but before you know it, she kept telling herself, I don't care, I'm going with the flow, that she didn't care about a lot of things that were going on.
This is how we lie to ourselves. We alter the meaning of great concepts. So they fit our whims.
Go with the flow is a great concept.
It's actually the greatest of concepts.
Yeah.
Because it manifests that level of surrender.
And of trust.
And trust.
Mm.
But it's a surrender and trust. Even when you go with the flow, what do? You make sure that you're floating. You make sure that your head is above the water. You make sure that your arms and legs are moving in that stable way that you just continue.
Mm.
See, this is a metaphor for you doing what you need to do while still going with the flow.
Yeah.
You cannot change the stream of things. You cannot, life is beyond you.
Yeah.
And believe me, that when the time comes and he calls upon us to, nothing will change. Nothing.
Yeah. I think that the concept of go with the flow. What did it say? Don't go with the flow, be the flow? Yeah, don't go with the flow, be the flow. I love that because if you... I don't even know how to explain it, but... Actually... Excuse me. Ooh, is my mic okay? Yeah? Okay. So, this is how I will explain don't go with the flow, be the flow, okay? We were doing some spring cleaning in my house because I got a new closet and stuff, okay? And I found an old journal from 2021. Literally, this is dated Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021, okay? And I always start by writing Bismillah or Alhamdulillah up there, okay? So I used to go into the office. I was working for Anil at the time, who is now back at Arabian Business. God bless his soul. And I wrote, Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy and blessed. I have the best life in the world. Alhamdulillah, I am so blessed and protected. Alhamdulillah, between every line I wrote, Alhamdulillah. Amazing things are always happening to and for me. I am blessed beyond measure. I love my beautiful life, my high-paying dream job. Thank you, God, for everything you do for me. This is the best year of my life. I am beyond happy and grateful. Miracles are always happening to and for me. Okay? I wrote this Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. I was broke as hell. Depressed as anything. Nothing was going my way. Absolutely nothing, you know? But I went into the office every day and I wrote this, wrote things like this to myself. And now we're 4 or 5 years later. And this is truly, truly, by the grace of God, my reality. It is only in the moments when I went with the flow of this, I became the flow of this. I became what I wanted to be. You fake it till you make it. I literally embodied how you said about if you don't know what you do, just look at God and emulate that. You won't do it in the blink of an eye, in the snap of a finger, but you fake it till you make it. You put on that energy, you wear it, you coat yourself in it, you marinate yourself in it, and before you know it, it becomes second nature. You wake up and something just changes and clicks in your brain. It's the same thing also with the trivial things. If you don't focus on them, what changed in my life was when I let go of the trivial things that didn't really matter and I focused on the bigger things that would get me closer to God, the trivial things are like little soldiers. They follow suit.
Absolutely.
Do you get what I'm saying?
No.
That is how you go with the flow, ladies and gentlemen.
Ta'alamu, ta'alamu. It's when you said fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
That's how we say it in our traditional wisdom.
Yeah.
This is not a calling for you to become fake.
No, but imitate, what do they say, flattery, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Yes.
If you see something beautiful and it's a positive form of learning, if you see someone living a life that you want or behaving in a certain way that you go like, oh, what a woman, what a man, I'd love to be that one day. You can absolutely start waking up and acting like you are that.
It becomes a divine concept if you choose right the one you fake.
You
choose right the one you fake. You fake being someone. You fake being you. We go back to تخلقوا بخلق الله. Like we go back to, you remember when we talked about having an idol? You need to have.
You need to worship something.
You need to worship something. Absolutely. You need to look upon something, or someone as your example.
Yeah.
And then you start imitating. Gradually trying to be him.
Yeah.
And that's how you learn. And that's how you become.
I agree. I really do think imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And if you find yourself lost or not knowing what to do, look around at the people who are living a life that you truly want to embody. And I'm not talking about celebrities and that nonsense. I'm talking about people who outwardly and inwardly live a genuine life that is close to God, that mirrors that divine love, and try to see what they do and try to apply it on your life.
Absolutely.
Things follow suits. You know, you can literally force your life to adapt to that.
Life by its essence is a very malleable, flexible creation of the Lord. It adapts. It's the manifestation of adaptation and generosity.
Yeah.
Do not resist life. Do not resist your existence. Do not try to, force an unreal either expectation or a sense of existence, and then feel depressed or disappointed because things did not work the way you want.
So I said once before that twist it however you want to twist it. Life doesn't bend to your will. But I said this in the sense of you cannot remain in your same negative mentality and doing things the way you want, and then the universe will suddenly change its behavior with you and give you everything you want. That's, you cannot force it to do what you want in that sense. You have to do the hardest part, and then the universe follows suit.
Well, absolutely, because it all starts with the way you think.
Yeah.
It all starts with the way you talk to yourself.
Yeah. But the universe is there, it's ready. And once again, for my Muslim brothers and sisters, the universe is everything Allah puts in Jalla this dunya Jalla. At your disposal to help you get to that life that you want. Jalla that Jalla. Is the universe, yeah, subhanAllah.
The rules of nature, you want to call them the rules of nature, the rules of existence, you want to call them...
No, I'm not talking about the rules. When I say the universe, it's the rules, it's everything. It's literally everything in this world that God puts in your way to help you get what you want.
Amazing how everything conspires to make sure that your wish or your prayer happens.
Yeah.
If you did it the right way.
So, for example, to me, in The Alchemist, when Santiago tells Fatima, "So I love you because the entire universe conspired to help me find you." To me, as a Muslim, the way I view that is Allah puts so many things in motion in the universe. If you read the book, the man who spoke to him, the caravan, every little thing that the universe, that Allah had the universe do so that all the chess pieces could fall into place. So the universe is Allah's greatest tool. It's this dunya that we live in. It's every little thing that happens. You miss a flight. You happen to bump into someone. This is what? This is the universe in action.
Absolutely. Al-Qadr.
Yeah, it's destiny.
The destiny.
Ameen.
My master said many, many years ago to me that there are no coincidences.
No, they don't exist. Who tells you, oh, it's just a coincidence.
There are no coincidences. Everything is by design.
Okay, rule 20. Are you ready?
Bismillah.
We were all created in his image, and yet we were each created different and unique. No two people are alike. No hearts beat to the same rhythm. If God had wanted everyone to be the same, he would have made it so. Therefore, disrespecting differences and imposing your thoughts on others is an amount to disrespecting God's holy scheme. SubhanAllah, we have said this many a time before.
Can you repeat it?
Yes, I can. We were all created in his image, and yet we were each created different and unique. No two people are alike. No hearts beat to the same rhythm. If God had wanted everyone to be the same, he would have made it so. Therefore, disrespecting differences and imposing your thoughts on others is an amount to disrespecting God's holy scheme.
Jalla Jalalu. Can we stop at the phrase, his image here? And what does it mean?
Yeah, we were all created in his image, and yet we were each created different and unique. That's the first sentence.
Yeah. Because in... You see this even in other religions, that this word has been taken out of concept completely. And by the image, they mean the physical appearance. Jalla Jalalullah Ta'ala and Dhalika Uluwan Kabira. It doesn't mean the physical image that we occupy.
Mm-mm.
We are the image of God on a completely different what you want to call
scale?
It. Scale or
realm.
And that is the spiritual realm. And that's where all your value as a human is condensed. It's not in your physical. Our physical can be so, I mean, look what happens to it.
Yeah.
We decay and rot.
Yeah.
You want to associate that with God? How can you? So it's not really the physical.
Yeah, of course.
And if you want to take it on the physical whole, you know how much we resemble our so-called cousins, the monkeys and the chimpanzees, and so in a physical image, we look very much to a great deal.
So it's not that. Yeah, so I understand.
It's not that, and it's a big mistake when our brain insults us. And you see this a lot. I see it a lot where people think that we are created in the image of God means that Allah Jalla Jalalu looks like us.
No.
Or we look like him.
No, I've never. I only see that in like Western movies.
That's we've been influenced by it, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So the image here is the spiritual image. And it's the third realm. It's not the physical, it's not the emotional, it's not the mental. It's another complete realm where if you ever reach there, you become godly. If you ever, you know, it's that's where the journey within is.
Yeah.
Because in reality, your physical realm is your first obstacle. Your mental realm is the second obstacle. Your emotional realm is your third obstacle. And then when you reach there, you find the ego waiting for you at the door. Yeah. Pass, if you can.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Now, can we read it one more time? Because this is really a very important point.
This is, I think he's saying this to Desert Rose, to the lady of the night from the brothel in the book. We were all created in his image, and yet we were each created different and unique. No two people are alike, no hearts beat to the same rhythm. If God had wanted everyone to be the same, he would have made it so. Therefore, disrespecting differences and imposing your thoughts on others is an amount to disrespecting God's holy scheme.
Absolutely. See, in his marvel of creation, Jalla Jalalu, he gave us a lot of hints and a lot of, like, look how different we are. You, my daughter, your fingerprints have nothing to do with my fingerprints.
Yeah.
My fingerprints have nothing to do with anybody's else fingerprints.
Yeah.
Since creation started till now.
Yeah.
So Allah Jalla Jalalu left so much indications, which says that you're similar, but you're so unique. You're the same, but you're so different.
Yeah.
So that uniqueness, because if he just had one stamp, one mold, and just mass produced all of us accordingly, well, that could have been also his choice. He can, but why he didn't? Because he doesn't need to.
I think it goes, I'm starving. I think it also goes to one of the rules that we were discussing yesterday about the loving each other, you know, and it's crazy, you know, it's crazy how it's so hard for you to love something that's so different from you, but then also you hate in others what you know you have in yourself, so it makes it truly the biggest test.
It's amazing how this duality here is a source of so much beauty and love. See, we are all the same in our humanity, but we are so different and unique in other aspects.
Yeah.
And this is where you need to respect each and every human brethren, because you never know who is he. You never know what is the ranking of the person in front of you.
Yeah.
You never know whom you're talking to.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this in the evaluation of fi ayn Allah, of God, how God sees the person in front of you.
Yeah.
We talked about this before. You look at someone who's in rags, but that person, لو أقسم على الله لأبره, if he says, Ya Allah, oh God, God would deliver. So this is where this, we are all the same, yet we are so unique. And this is where the beauty of this concept, it allows you, it actually asks you to respect the other, their values, their standards, the way they live life, the way they think, and try your best to help, but do not impose. My way or no way. Yeah. My way of life, my way of thinking, my way of belief, otherwise you are wrong. Who are you? Who am I to do that?
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
All right, next one. Mm-hmm. Rule 21. When a true lover of God goes into a tavern, the tavern becomes his chamber of prayer. But when a winebibber goes into the same chamber, it becomes his tavern. In everything we do, it is our hearts that make the difference, not our outer appearance. Sufis do not judge other people on how they look or who they are. When a Sufi stares at someone, he keeps both eyes closed, instead opens a third eye, the eye that sees the inner realm. This is, he was talking to Sleiman the drunk, and I say this all the time. The reason why it's so important to build a relationship with Allah is because life will throw curveballs at you all the time, some bigger than others. Somewhere the rug is swept from right under your feet and you're falling into a dark abyss. But that relationship with Allah, that is your anchor. Wherever you go, it is your light. You could put me anywhere, anywhere, and Allah is in my heart. I will find my way back, and you best believe it, you know? But if that relationship with Allah is fickle and it's paper thin, you could put me in a mosque and I would be lost. And subhanAllah, there are people in mosques lost. And then there are people in this dunya living the highest life. But if you look at their hearts, like this with God, so connected. Because, and this is something you taught me, our relationship, our religion is flexible. Because in this dunya, for example, there are things that we need to do. There are places that we need to be, meetings, work, you know. You have to pay the bills. But that connection with Allah is what doesn't sweep you with the rest of the tide.
Absolutely.
Am I making sense?
Very much.
Like, for example, my work is in social media. It's a very different life than what I grew up in Jordan experiencing. You know, it's that high life. You meet people, you whatever. And when I was younger and I thought that that limelight life is what I wanted, ya lahwi. God took me for a ride and a half. And literally, it's like you're tumbling down an avalanche. But now, subhanAllah, I could be anywhere in any room. I just don't care. You know, it's I won't get lost in it. I won't be mesmerized by it. I'm mesmerized by Allah.
You know, khudillah ma'ak. Wherever you go, take your Lord with you.
Yeah.
Because your Lord is in your heart. Your religion is in your heart. Your faith is in your heart. Regardless what place you are in or with whom you are in, we can find ourselves in the most unfortunate places.
Yeah.
Or the most challenging places. What do we do? If you manage to get your Lord with you, your faith with you, your conviction with you, it doesn't matter. The paraphilia does not really matter.
No, it doesn't.
And this is the plague of the age that we live in. It's all about paraphilia.
It's all about a show.
It's all about signaling virtue.
Virtue signaling, yeah.
It's way much simpler than this. It's.
Yeah, but I agree. But I think it's so important because even Zemo, my brother, when we were on the phone two nights ago, and he was just asking me, if you lost everything today, who would you go to? I was like, Aib alaik.
Jalla wajhullah.
Who else? God. I was like, how could you think I would go to anyone else? Because he was trying to explain, like, you'd probably go to your mom or your dad. I was like, you silly little boy. Have you not been paying attention? God. And not just that. I told him I would go to God with a smile on my face. And I said, you know how I did a video? I said, be careful what you claim. I say this with my chest. I would go with a smile on my face.
Jalla wajhullah. Nothing is beyond his generosity.
If I lost everything today, I would go back to God with a smile on my face, because if he gave it to me once, it is a aib alay to doubt that he could not give it to me again. And guess what? 10 times more.
10 times.
This is the whole point of this. This is the whole point of this dunya. It's that unwavering faith. I can close my eyes and wallahi, he's got me. I know he's got me.
Think of it as going into this mansion, room after room. Every room has its own decoration and setup. You don't want to stay in one room for too long. because it limits you.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, the most important thing is it's a journey. And each and every journey has a beginning and an end. Just always be prepared for the end.
Yeah. I mean, Rule 22. Again, he's still talking to Sleiman the drunk. Life is a temporary loan, and this world is nothing but a sketchy imitation of reality. Only children would mistake a toy for the real thing. And yet human beings either become infatuated with the toy or disrespectfully break it and throw it aside. In this life, stay away from all kinds of extremities, for they will destroy your inner balance. Sufis do not go to extremes. A Sufi always remains mild and moderate.
Allah, that's a beautiful thing to say.
Can I say one thing?
Nah.
So about the life is a loan, and then only children would mistake a toy for the real thing, and yet human beings either become infatuated with the toy or disrespectfully break it and throw it aside. I will say one thing. Miley Cyrus had a song back in 2012 or something like that called We Can't Stop. It's when she shaved her head and started sticking her tongue out. It was a weird phase, I'm not going to lie. And in her song We Can't Stop, she used to say, it's my body, I'll do what I want. Something along those lines. I can't even remember the lyrics. And even at that age, as a teenager, it rubbed me the wrong way. Ya Allah, it bothered me. I was like, but it's not your body. You have to give it back to God.
It's not your body, no. It's lended.
It's a loan. You return this back to God.
Absolutely.
Back in the ground where we belong. Like, there's no two ways about it. And then I saw someone, it was one of those shuikh online, I can't remember his name, who was just saying that when you're buried, you take nothing with you, which we know. But even like tooth fillings, you're not allowed to take a foreign thing from this dunya back in the grave with you.
وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا. This is وسط is this the middle ground.
Yeah.
It's where is no extremism or extremity is acceptable or allowed.
Yeah.
The core of Islam, the core of this religion, the core of the existence as a Muslim is to always seek the middle ground. It's to always seek the easiest path.
I agree.
You see, how would you know that someone, if you live around people, how would you know that someone is actually a good mu'min? He has a bit of iman in him. He makes life easier for everybody around him. With the simplest things possible. He's always there, extending hand, giving. And you know what? And when things go wrong, he doesn't come back to you and say, oh, I did this, that to you, and I did that to you.
Hamlak Jamili.
Because he's actually, and I think we talked about this long, long ago, is like, keep on doing right and expect it to come back, and it will, but not from the same direction.
Then your intentions are wrong. You're not loving selflessly or giving selflessly. That's the proof is in that energy. If you're expecting it to return from the same person you gave it to, then you're not giving it selflessly.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I will also say one thing, now that we talked about the body being borrowed. SubhanAllah, I just thought of something. How do I phrase this properly? Bismillah. Okay. There's a huge thing in Islam on a woman's virtue, and people talk about it all the time, and now with the men podcasters and whatever. And I just thought of something, you know, it's a beautiful thing to take care of your body. I'm with you. Don't give it to just anyone and all of that. I am very anti the OnlyFans modern day sex life of Americans. Okay. But I have a lot of these girls in my DMs, right? And they seem to be on the good side of Muslim girls, but in love with a man who's not giving them the time of day or. When we say that we've borrowed this body from God and we have to return it, does the mind not apply? Does the soul not apply?
All the faculties that you have.
Everything. So when we say, for example, not to get tattoos because it goes back to Allah, sure, that's one great part. But your brain goes back to God, your soul. So it makes no difference that outwardly, okay, you're wearing the hijab or you have no tattoos, but inside in your heart, you're letting a man walk all over you, or a toxic mother, or an absentee father. So is that not the same soul you give back to God?
It's the same. Seek virtue and seek
in everything.
In everything, out and in.
But see, people nitpick. They take what they want and they leave the rest.
If they want to compensate, if they want to hide.
Yeah.
You see, this is how hypocrisy and fakeness is. I'll take one aspect of the totality. I will overdo it.
Yeah.
I will claim that that's all what matters. I want your attention to be
sliding off this couch. Sorry, Dad. Yeah.
I want your attention to be mesmerized on that aspect only.
Yeah.
And it's the way to let go of the rest of the big of the reality of the truth.
Yeah.
And that's the redefinition, the incarnation of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
It's always not about me and you. It's not about this real. If not everything you say you do or you think of is not connected to that real, which is the ilahi real, then
doesn't matter.
Then you are in hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Regardless, who is it? Me, you?
I agree. Anyway, about the mild and moderate. Yeah. It's interesting. When we started doing the emotional release, the book, it's called The Emotion.
I think it's Emotional Release, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it called Emotional Release? Emotional.
I forget the name of the book, but I almost remember it. Book
that talks about trapped emotions and hidden emotions and how they can be hidden in certain parts of the body as well. So if there's a certain body part that ails you, it's a certain emotion that's connected to it.
I think it's called Emotional Code.
Emotion Code or Emotional Code. Yes, The Emotion Code. It's a great book, all of that good stuff. And I remember when the list of emotions on that list of certain emotions that can be trapped, and overjoy was a toxic emotion.
Yes.
And it hit me the second I read it. I understood it immediately, because that insane high of you get something you want and the overexcitement and overjoy, and then subhanAllah, a lot of people, when they get what they want, there is that overjoy and that overexcitement with a shot of anxiety right next to it. You know what I mean? Even in our excitement. So we always talk about how in Islam, depression, like, عيب, because Allah, right? But overexcitement is also a negative emotion.
The exaggeration in any form.
Of anything, yeah.
The exaggeration in any form, you know.
I think the one thing you can't overdo is gratitude. I'll say that.
Because you cannot do over gratitude.
You can't be grateful enough. It's the one thing where you, like, who was asking me once? Sarah, we were on the phone and she was like, did you pray enough for this? And I was like, how could you ask me something like this? There isn't a world where I could pray enough. I was like,
absolutely.
I'd be lying if I said, yeah, of course I did.
Absolutely.
You can always pray more. You can always be more grateful, you know? But, and we say that gratitude is what heals depression.
Absolutely.
You know, gratitude is what gets rid of negative emotions. But I think instead of overjoy and the overexcitement that comes with that dose of anxiety of, am I going to lose it? Is it going to go away? Is it even real? It's gratitude that you should focus on the second you get something.
Yeah, you see, those extreme emotions like overjoy, it's something most people are seeking, but they're seeking it with a lack of understanding of how dangerous it is.
I didn't understand how dangerous it was until I saw it in... I even see it in my siblings and my mother when they get something they want and they're so excited. I literally warn them. I'm like, breathe, just enjoy it. Just say alhamdulillah, go wash your face, like, sit in it.
Well, I remember that when someone told me, like, I come tell you good news, and you're like, I come tell you. Even when he someone who worked for me, he would think that there was major achievements and come tell me, and my expressions are almost the same. In deep inside, I am actually grateful. But what is it that would make me just put a show of overjoy? For what?
Yeah. For who?
I'm leaving this for another life.
Yeah.
Inshallah, the overjoy will come there.
Yeah. Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
I agree.
Alhamdulillah. I think we did very well today.
That's I enough. Think we did too. I have no reels for social media, but it's okay. It was a great conversation.
No, you'll
no, no, Daddy, I have zero. Stop doing that. I have none.
Allah yahfadik.
Two episodes with you. But can I tell you something? And I maybe the followers can attest to this or explain why. My last two reels that got over 1 million views are where I'm talking about boys.
What?
Like the first one was, if he wanted to, he would, because no one is as busy as a man who isn't interested in you. And the second one was with Sarah, where I said, Timmy, the one thing that makes you a real man is that you do what you say you're going to do. Both of those videos over 1 million views.
Well, alhamdulillah, I think we should talk about what a real man and what a real woman is, but not today.
Yeah, not today. I think the next episode should be that. Maybe take a break from 40 rules. Actually, 40 rules is for the people. It's for you to tell the people what the people want to hear. I just am lucky and grateful enough to have a front row seat to it.
Allah yahfadik ya Rabbi.
I'm just going to not put my two cents.
Allah yahfadik.
So you guys are getting your solo episodes from Bobo.
Allah yahfadik. Alhamdulillah.
All right, I'm hungry once again. So let's eat. Also, then I'm going to go to Soul DXB and see. His name is Prince Kuta, Kouta, on Instagram. You guys should follow him. He was a nurse in Gaza during the whole thing that's happened. And I'm going to go meet him today for the first time, which I'm very excited about. He's here at Soul DXB. And if anyone happens to be at Soul, come say hi. But I think this episode's going to be released by the time I'm not going to be at Soul. But, yeah. Anyway, go follow him. He's a great, great, great guy. He's, I think, 23, 24, and he was a nurse, and just God bless his soul. Thank you so much, Yaba.
Allah yahayiki. Shukran.
When are you coming back?
Very soon, inshallah. Very soon.
Okay.
End of the week, inshallah.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum. Ya Allah, assalamu alaikum.